And so it is a real thing. But as it relates to our Christianity, I want us to think about this over-victimization that we have in our world. If we have this idea for saying, I would be a better Christian if I wasn't so lonely, if my spouse loved me more, if I got married especially, the error of this idea. I want to suggest to you the reality that simply would not be true. We would not be a better Christian if. We'll be a better Christian if we decide to be a better Christian. If we decide we're going to stand on our own two feet and have a relationship with God and with his people, if we decide we're going to draw near to God and he will draw near to me, that's how I'm going to be a better Christian. It's not because I get married. That's not what's going to change me and make me a better Christian. Now, hopefully we choose wisely, and certainly we want to do that. Choose someone who is going to journey through this life with us and that's going to share our faith and all those important facets of what it means to build these relationships. But we need to have our own relationship with the Lord. And so while this is real and while it does need to be considered and thought about, we better not be thinking, well, I would just be better if. We need to be seeking that relationship right now. And while, as Paul recognizes, it may be better to marry than to burn with passion, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9, I would also say it is better to not marry at all than to marry poorly. Many of you have seen the destruction that comes from someone who just wants to get married. Maybe they're worried about the very thing we're talking about this morning, this idea of loneliness. They don't want to be alone, and so they just want to find someone. That's a long, difficult road. And I would suggest a very lonely road at times. And so be very careful about the mindset and where we go sometimes and what our reactions, our initial impulsive reactions may be to this feeling that we have. And what I want us to do now is to recognize what we have as people who are in Christ, whether we are married or whether we are single. And what I want us to understand about being single is that there are so many people who fulfilled very important roles within God's kingdom as single people. The easiest one of all is Jesus, who went through life unmarried. But that he is not the only one. We have Daniel and his friends. We have Jeremiah, who was unmarried. We have Elijah and Elisha, who are prophets of the Lord. Paul and Barnabas. What we know about these men is that they're unmarried. They don't have a companion in life. They don't have a spouse. And yet they were able to accomplish amazing things for the kingdom of God. Single Christians fulfill vital roles in the kingdom. I would suggest sometimes, as Paul, I think, suggests and implies through the statement here in 1 Corinthians 7, that people who are single simply can do things at times that people who are married cannot. And we'll talk about some of those opportunities here in just a moment. But I want us to realize that there are single people, many single people within Scripture, who do marvelous things, who work for the kingdom, who accomplish the will of God in the world, and in stories that we are well aware of in the Old Testament and in the New. And maybe the greatest example of this besides Jesus himself is the Apostle Paul, who writes a large section of the New Testament, who goes all throughout the known world, the Roman Empire, proclaiming the message of the gospel, traveling from place to place, building relationships, and converting people to Christ. And he's single. So your status, whether you're married or whether you're single, really has no implication on the kind of Christian you can be. On the role that you can play, you can be a vital part of the people of God, whether you are married or whether you are single. It really does not matter. It's a choice that we each make. We choose whether or not we want to be married, whether we don't want to be married. But within that choice, what stands outside of that is whether we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God either way. If we're a Christian and we're faithful and we want to follow the will of Jesus Christ, we want to be obedient to the will of God, whether we're married or whether we're single, we're going to do the will of God. We're going to rejoice in the things that God has given us. We're going to find the blessings that we have. We're going to seek opportunity. We're going to find our place. We're going to find the work that we can do. Paul, as he's speaking about contentment, really this has to do with financial situation. To the Philippian brethren, he makes this statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here he's talking about, it doesn't matter if he has no money or if he's wealthy, he's going to serve. And I think we can directly apply this concept or this idea to what we're talking about this morning. Whether you're single or whether you're married, you can serve. You can do the will of God. You can do all things through him who strengthens. Well, we don't say, well, I can do all things if I can get married and find a good spouse. That's not how it works. We've been baptized into Christ and our sins have been remembered. We become a newness of life. We're ready to be instruments in the Lord's army. And there's nothing in there about whether we are married or whether we are unmarried. And while there may be specific things that we can accomplish as a married person or specific things as an unmarried person that we may be more prone to accomplish, we can still accomplish things in the Lord's kingdom, and that's the important point. And no one is better or lesser or more or any of that in the kingdom of God. He expects all of us to show devotion and to be committed and to work and to serve. And so what we have to do, whether we're married or whether we're single, is see the opportunity that we have before us. Singles can take advantage of their undivided attention. And this is where I ultimately wanted us to go with 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it's really the point that Paul is making here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where we read that last statement in verse 35. He says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Here's his point. If you're betrothed and you want to get married, get married. That's good. If you're not bound to a woman, if you're not betrothed, don't seek to be betrothed. Just stay single. That's just as fine. You can do either way. It's not going to affect your relationship with the Lord either way. But see the advantage, he says here, of being single. I want you to see the benefit of what comes from being a single person. And so he praises the advantages of being single in the Lord. The married person has a lot of concerns. The married man and the married woman, they're anxious for various things. They're concerned about the family. The man has to work and provide for his family, and that takes up considerable time and effort. The woman is going to take care of her husband. She's going to take care of the children, assuming they have children. And there's a lot of work and dedication and effort that's going to go into that. And we have to recognize that the opportunities may be different depending on the time of life that we're in. And so some of you who are single out there, you may have extensive opportunity to do some things that maybe a young mother can't. Or even a young father can't, because they're tied up. They're with babies and they're raising children, and they're tied up in that kind of life, which is fine. That's good. We need babies. And we need good parents to raise babies and to teach them about the Lord and to grow them and to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. And we need all of that. But single people have a place too. And it may be that it's easier for you to go visit someone who's sick. It may be that it's easier for you to teach a Bible class this next quarter than someone who just had a baby. It may be easier for you to do a variety of things. And it's an opportunity that you have to serve that maybe someone who is married, it's just not going to be easy for them. They go to work and the man, he gets done at 6 o'clock and he has a family to come home to. And it may be that after work, you have time to go and do some things that someone else may not. It's an opportunity. And that's really the point Paul is getting at here, and I think he understands this very well in the situation that he is in. The unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord. I think he's playing on that term here. The married man and the married woman, they have these anxieties, they have these concerns. And the point there is it's not just about themselves anymore. Maybe you're in a situation with your job, men, that you don't like so much. And maybe you would like to stand up to your boss and tell him some things he needs to hear. But you have a wife and you have some kids. And so that's a little bit of a risk. And maybe if you didn't have that concern, something beyond yourself, if it was just you, maybe you could just go get a simple job making an hourly wage somewhere and you could take care of yourself just fine. But when you're thinking about other people that you have to take care of, that changes the game a little bit. Maybe you're single, but now you're willing to speak up and say some things that need to be said. And you think, you know what? I can go somewhere else and take care of myself. This is no problem. You see the point Paul's making? There are some advantages to being single. You have some flexibility that a married person doesn't have. You have the ability to make some choices that someone who is married can't make. And I think many recognize this, as Paul does here. And some who would choose to be single, especially, are going to recognize, maybe even some who would like to be married, but they've been single and they see these advantages. It may get harder and harder to decide they want to get married because they see some of these advantages. But there may be some who have this feeling of loneliness. And I realize that just talking about Jesus and talking about our congregation, that's just not going to fix all the feelings of loneliness. I get that. But what I do want us to understand is you have great opportunity. You have some unique ways that you can serve in the kingdom, especially in the sense of time. The added worries of married life often involve extensive amounts of time, which are minimized for single people. And I realize, as a single person, you probably are very busy. I understand that. You're going to work a job. I know that. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to go to work, and you're going to be at work all day, and you're going to come home. But the simple reality is, when you come home to yourself. And you can do the things that you want to do. You can choose where you spend your time, and you can choose where you go. You can choose to come up here and work in the workroom for 4 hours if you want to, or 6 hours. You can choose to go to Starbucks and read your Bible for 4 hours if you want to. You can make the choices that you want to make. It may be that you can build relationships with people and you have time to do that with someone who maybe is a new Christian. You have the time to spend time with that person and try to encourage them along the way in a way that a married person may struggle to do because they can't make that kind of time commitment all the time. We have some unique ways that single people can serve. So I want us to understand this is a blessing. Those of you who are single, see the blessing in what you have. See the blessing through even maybe some of the struggles. Maybe you're single and you're in the sense that your spouse doesn't support what you're doing here. And that's a struggle. There's no way to deny that's going to be difficult. You care deeply about the things we're doing here. If you have children, you're bringing them here, and you care deeply about that. But see the blessing through the struggle. See all these people here who support what you're doing, even if your spouse does not. And realize they're your family. They want you to succeed. If you are an unmarried person, you are single, see the blessing in that. Let me offer some suggestions to you. Just through things I've heard throughout my life, and even through personal family experience now that we have dealt with to some degree, extended family, that I think may be helpful to think through. And I humbly submit these to you, and I mean that sincerely. I realize some of these can be difficult, and I know it's not as easy as what it just says on the screen, but I think if we think carefully about them, maybe it will help us a little bit. If you're a single person, don't be afraid to get something going. You know, you don't have to wait for somebody else. You don't have to wait for the elders to do something or the deacons to do something. And especially, you don't have to wait for the married people to do something. And I say that because one of the things I've heard from people who are family of mine in other situations is, essentially, they want the married people to get them together. You know, why don't they set up a singles outing? And my response is, why don't you set up a singles outing? Do something. If this is a concern you have, let's just do it. Let's find the people that you fit in with and find the people who you are like in that sense and just go ahead and make it happen. Don't wait for anybody else to do it. And for that matter, all of us should be that way. It doesn't matter if you're single or you're married. We're looking out for each other's interests. And so we see the need. Let's make it happen. Let's get to it and be busy and not expect someone else to do it instead. Realize, single people, that married people, we like you. Okay? You're not some strange alien being that we don't really want to be with or something like that. We really do like being around you. In fact, it probably makes us feel a little younger and all those sorts of things, right? We're probably more the problem, right? Because we got to get home with our kids and we have all these responsibilities. We enjoy being around you, so don't feel self-conscious about that. I've spent a lot of time in a lot of groups and never once have I thought, oh, I don't want to hang out with that single person. that is just never a consideration. I have some very good friends who are unmarried that I enjoy being around extensively when I have the opportunity. Some of them are here this morning. I get the opportunity to be around those people. I love it. I enjoy it. We have a bond and we enjoy spending time together when we have that chance. And I realize, like I said, sometimes these things may feel awkward. They may feel more awkward than is reality even. But try to work through that feeling. Try to work through that struggling to see the blessings in what we have. And then I would say this, seek involvement. We've been talking about this the whole time this morning, but marital status really has no significance at all in being involved. You can, if you're single, you're married, you can be involved in the things that are going on. I have a story that doesn't relate to marriage itself, but it's a similar idea of how sometimes people feel isolated. They feel like they're not apart. When I went to Western Kentucky, I went from Florida College, a place many of you are familiar with. At that time, went 2 years. A lot of people go there 4 years now, but when I was there, you go 2 years and you go somewhere else for the most part. I went from Florida College to Western Kentucky, and when I made that move, there are about 80 of us that did that, and probably as much or more the year before. So there is a sizable number of people that went from Florida College to Western Kentucky University, a large group. And here's what happens. You have a lot of people who come to Western who are at the churches and say, well, I wasn't at Florida College. I just don't fit in. I don't understand. I don't fit with all these people, and that's their mindset. But you know what? I have a friend named Kurt who was a freshman when we got there. He didn't care a thing about that. He jumped in, he involved himself with everybody, anybody. Didn't matter if it was someone from Florida College or someone else, and he had a great time. A lot of these things in our head, we've convinced ourselves that things are a certain way. And so seek involvement. Decide you're going to be a part. I get it. I understand there can be struggles, and sometimes there are times when you're going to feel left out and you're going to feel isolated, but I really believe for the most part, it's a decision that we make. It's a choice. I see single people all the time who involve themselves with married groups and married people and do great. And so I want to encourage you, and maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you have a hard time walking up to somebody and saying, hey, let's go do something. Find someone else who doesn't struggle with that as much and try to work with them. There are all kinds of ways to make these sorts of things happen. And then finally, and what I want to really emphasize the most this morning is thank God for what you have. Be content. That's the point in Philippians 4. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The point there is about contentment. Realize that the situation you're in, you can make the best use of that situation, whether you're married and you have a struggle in your marriage, whether you're divorced, whether you are unmarried, you've never been married. Whatever situation you're in, you can thank God for the blessings that you do have, even in the midst of some of the difficulties. We can be appreciative of what God has given to us, and we can seek the opportunities that he has blessed us with. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, Paul says, how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. See the blessings. See the benefit. And if you're married, see the blessings and the benefit of being married. Be content in the situation that you're in. And realize that God has blessed us bountifully. And we have so much to be thankful for. I wish that I could comprehensively deal with this issue. And as I admitted in the beginning, it's just not possible. And I apologize. I'm sure I've missed all kinds of things on the fringes and all throughout this subject. But I hope that you understand I did the best I could do. And I think it's an important issue. It's a growingly important issue as people decide more and more to remain single. And I want to say God bless you in making that choice. There's nothing wrong with deciding you want to be single and you want to be single in Christ. You want to serve him faithfully and devote your life undividedly to him. And if that's what you've done, then that is a wonderful thing. And you should be praised for that type of decision and for your decision to follow the Lord with your whole heart. And I want you to see the blessing and the advantage of doing so. Could be this morning, whatever situation you're in, you realize you need Jesus Christ. Maybe you found your way in this building. And you need some answers. We want to help you find them. And not because we're so smart and we know so much, but just simply because we can turn to Scripture We can try to find things in the Word of God that's going to help us, that's going to help you, and we can work together on whatever situation you're dealing with, and it may be a bad one. But I can tell you this, God will forgive the sins you've committed, and He has a hope of eternal life for you, no matter how difficult something in this life may be. And that's the hope I want to tell you from the gospel this morning. And maybe that you realized that at one time, and you've stepped away from the Lord. In this moment of clarity, you are here this morning, you're thinking about the things of God, and you realize you desperately need Him back in your life. Maybe that relationship has waned to a degree, and you need to recommit yourself. Now is the time to do that. Make this next year a great year of your relationship with God. Can we help you do that? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?
Everyone,